From the pulpit of the Capital City Baptist Church, we present Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of Pastor Adam Thompson and the Capital City Baptist Church. I'd invite you to stay with us because at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you our contact information. And now with a message from the Word of God, here's Pastor Adam Thompson.
Philippians chapter 4, let's stand together. We'll read verses 15 through 17. Now ye Philippians know also that at the beginning of the gospel, when I departed and from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again to my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. As we look at Philippians here, a church which is probably the greatest missions-giving church in the New Testament, a church that is marked throughout all eternity in Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, as the reference point for missions giving, the example when it comes to missions giving, sacrificial giving. Acts 16 tells us a story how Paul went, he heard the Macedonian call. He had a vision in the night. The man said, come over and help us. And the Holy Spirit led him to follow that vision. And it was his first trip into Europe. The gospel goes into Europe. And Philippi was the chief city of Macedonia. And as he travels, he goes in that city. He goes down to the river, finds Lydia. Over the next few weeks, not only sees her family saved, she gets baptized. That little church begins to grow. And he doesn't stay there long because he faced persecution, thrown in jail. You know the story there, the Philippian jailer. And they had a rock concert, and they sang, God rocked the place. And as a result, that jailer got born again. But they left there, had to go to Thessalonica, and he was only there a matter of weeks, at most 5, 6, maybe 8 weeks. But during that short time, he says, when I was there in Macedonia, no church, not even his home church, he said, no church had any communication with me concerning giving and receiving. They just thought mystically, magically, I was going to go to the field and food was going to fall out of the sky. People were going to open up their doors. And God was going to miraculously provide me transportation. We know he had to work as a tent maker. Can you imagine what the Apostle Paul could have accomplished had he not had to work a second job? Had he just been able to focus on the gospel, the greatest church planner of any generation, but he got stuck working a job because his sending church didn't support him. This was the first church to catch the vision. And as soon as he goes to the next town, the Bible tells us that he was working. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. This is not an ideal situation for a missionary. Most countries, it's impossible and illegal for an American to have a job. 1 Thessalonians 2, 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel in between our work schedule. Look what it says in 2 Thessalonians 3:8. He said, in order to make that happen, in order to sustain myself, I had to work night and day and preach, and he still started at church. 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day. Paul's not exaggerating. God's not writing an exaggeration. This man was literally working around the clock to sustain himself. Now, at this time, he had Luke with him and Silas with him and Timothy with him, but those men had to provide for themselves. And here's what Lydia did. She, knowing that, took them into her house and sustained them. But once they left town, they get to the next town. Lydia, the Philippian jailer, that little demon-possessed girl that was saved, and other converts begin to gather goods and money and send it. That's 100 miles down the road. They sent it down the road to help Paul. And even if he was just there 5 or 6 weeks, in the matter of that short period of time, twice. Now, let me ask you this. How faithful do you think we'd be to support our missionaries if we had to take them the money 100 miles down the road by foot or on horseback and deliver it? Well, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to do one lump sum yearly and send our college students over there, the fastest, the leanest, the most athletic ones. but they were going out of their way to help Paul. And here's what he said, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again, because you had a woman with a philosophy. Let's help this man. Now, when it comes to missions, Paul really clarifies here what missions is about. And I think as we go into the missions conference, we've got to fix some philosophy, because really the majority of Christians don't participate. And this scripture right here will straighten out our thinking. We think missions giving is just that. It's a gift. So it's like Christmas. How much do I want to spend this year? What do I want to do? How big should the present be? What is that person worth? What do I feel like doing? That's not a biblical concept of missions. And Paul said, I didn't come through looking for a gift, not because I desire a gift. And that, I promise you, is not the mindset of the average independent fundamental Baptist missionary. He said, I desire fruit. And as we go into this missions conference, first thing we got to do is rearrange our philosophy and say, this isn't about a gift this year. What am I going to gift missionaries around the world? What am I going to gift our missions program? This has nothing to do with that. This has to do with reaching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much fruit are we going to produce as a church? Because if you don't have the right mindset, if you think this is about a gift, you'll make an excuse and not participate. Here would be the most common ones as a result of this philosophy. Number one, that's their problem, not my responsibility. Now, I want you to think about this little church, teeny tiny. They just got started. They don't have a building. They have Lydia's house. These are new converts. The Philippian jailer and his family literally have been saved 24 hours when Paul leaves town. And they're already participating in missions, and they're helping in the work there in Thessalonica. Here's what he said. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Ye did communicate with me in my affliction. Here's what we're doing when we participate in missions. We're understanding their problem is our problem. They're short on funds. They need to put up a building. They need tracts. They need Bibles. They need airline tickets. They need benches. They need to make this happen. It's not the problem of Brother Martin or Brother Ledbetter or Brother Weston. That's our problem. We share in that. And when Paul left, he said, you're the only church that thought about my affliction. They didn't say, well, Paul, that's your problem. You're leaving town. We would have taken care of you if you would have stayed around. You had a nice house right here. You abandoned us. Those guys certainly could have used a few lessons on discipleship, but nope, you got to hop on out of here and run on down the road. They said, listen, as long as you're endeavoring to preach the gospel, a church needs started there as well as it needs started here. Your problems are our problems. I believe mission-minded church are more concerned about helping others than they are about helping themselves. That's a missions-minded church. Not very many of those left. Average church more concerned about their building, their parking lot, their facilities, their buses, their outreach ministries than they are about reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. Here's another excuse. When someone looks at this as a gift and not as a matter of fruit and fruitfulness, that church is going to say, well, we give as much or just as much or probably more than other churches that we know. Can you imagine had they used that excuse? He said, no church, in verse 15, communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only. Let me ask you this. What kind of example did the Philippian church have to participate in missions? They had no example. They had no concept. They didn't have the word of God. They saw the need, saw the missionary, and said, let's help that man. You know what the average independent Baptist church is doing? Looking around and saying, we certainly give more than them. Well, you know, the average church in North Carolina gives $68,000 a year to missions, and we give $450,000. as if the church in North Carolina was our point of reference. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing. What matters is that we are doing exactly what God wants us to do. If you're not careful, you're going to have the philosophy you do sitting around Christmas when you get the family together and you have an exchange party. You kind of judge what everyone else is going to spend, and that determines how much you're going to spend. That's not the way we're supposed to give to missions. Well, you know, I think the average man in this church gives about $450 a month. No, you better follow the Holy Spirit's leading and do exactly what He tells you to do. It doesn't matter if that's $38 or $3,800. You do exactly what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. This is about God using us to be fruitful and produce fruit. My only fear is, in Christianity, we're not concerned about fruit. We're considering the gift. How much should I spend on this gift? And it depends on who I'm giving it to. Number three, you have this philosophy. You're going to say, well, really, my giving is really sufficient. He's making it. I'm taking a look at Paul. The first guy takes the money over, takes the food over. Says, Paul's got a job. He's fine at this point. All four of them are fine. They're not starving to death. They got food on the table. They're making it. They've got a few converts. They'll be fine. Here's what you're going to see about the church of Macedonia. This didn't happen once. It didn't happen twice. He said once and again, repeatedly, they're giving. And then in verse 18, now you take the time between the time he planted that church in Philippi all the way, this was his second missionary journey, go to his third missionary journey, then follow him all the way to Rome, and now he's sitting in prison and they're sending goods and money by way of Epaphroditus, verse 18, but I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice. You know what they've been all these years? Consistently, faithfully helping Paul when no other church did. But you know how that started? Go back with me to Acts chapter 16. Let's just take a quick look at Lydia. Here was a woman that was generous with her goods, starting with her house. Acts 16. So Paul comes to town with his partners and a certain woman, verse 14, named Lydia, a seller of purple, the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended to the things which were spoken of Paul. When she was baptized in her household, she pled with us, she begged to us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house, abide there. And she constrained us. She said, I want to take care of you. I want to meet your needs. And she basically forced these four men. You have no place to stay. Why are you underneath the trees? Why are you camping out? Why are you the local hostel? You need to come over to my house. I'll feed you. I'll wash your clothes. I'll bed you. I'll take care of you and make sure your needs are met. And then when they left town, she kept doing it. And kept doing it. And all these years later, as he sits in a prison in Rome, she's still sending by way of Epaphroditus to help this man. She realized it wasn't about a gift. This was a spiritual obligation. And listen, I don't think for a minute that she knew when these four men stayed in her house that she was hosting Timothy, Silas, Luke, and Paul. In this generation, you insert the names. You had no clue. These were going to be some of the biggest names. Listen, there is no bigger name in the history of Christianity than the Apostle Paul. And she can say, Luke, the man that wrote that book, yeah, he was right here. I fed him breakfast. I took out his shirt and I cleaned it up and I ironed it and I gave it back to him. Took care of those boys. Timothy, he was just a young man. I know he's a preacher now. He's doing an amazing job there at that church at Ephesus. But I was there for him. You know what we can do? We can take some of these missionaries and host them and help them and house them and be a blessing to them. You have no idea. I guarantee you, Brother Johnston, when the first time those that met these men, the first time I met Brother Martin, I remember right over here feeding him back when this place right across the highway was a Ramada Inn. And they had a restaurant down there below it 20 years ago, 25 years ago. sitting at a table with Brother Rick Martin, the man who has most affected this generation with the gospel of Christ, only runs 4,000, 5,000 on the typical Sunday, planted 800 churches and 200 Bible institutes. We got to feed him a meal. Brother Johnston was coming to our conference. Brother Johnston, my wife met him 30 years ago when he first was going to a pig farmer from Missouri. One of the greatest missionaries. Those people were clueless when they were hosting them. Folks, this isn't about a gift. This isn't about a tithe. This isn't about a $50 bill. This is about fruit. You know what these men have done for Capital City all these years? They've added fruit to our account. You know what Brother Martin has done now? 20 years of fruit on our account. All that fruit going to Cap City Baptist Church and our heavenly account. Those of you that participated, listen, some of you haven't had five people saved in the past 10 years, but you have had thousands and thousands added to your account through your missions giving because you understood this is not about a gift. This is about fruit. You got to get past this philosophy that says, well, I'm going to measure my gift this year and see what I can do. Missions giving, if we're not careful. And our philosophy's not right. We're going to say, well, that's really a part of the budget that the church doesn't really benefit from. Look what it says in chapter 4, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. When you're a missions-minded church, when you're a mission-minded person, you realize that the money that we invest in reaching the lost is actually the only money we keep. That money we spend on paint, we got to spend it on paint next year. And that money we spend on pews, we're going to spend it on pews again. And that money we spend on hymn books, we got to spend it on hymn books again. Next thing you know, that money's going to be in the garbage. But the money that we've invested in missions, the money we've invested in souls, that is eternal. Now, I want you to notice three phrases tonight, and we're done. If you take your highlight, you'll take your pen and mark these phrases. Not because I desire a gift, but mark those next three words. I desire fruit. Let me ask you tonight, as we walk in our missions conference, can you say, I desire fruit? You know what's going to be made obvious on that card? Your faith promise commitment this year, if you really desire fruit, if you even understand what you're doing. This is about fruit. I thank God I've had the opportunity to invest my life in missions. We spent 15 years in the mission field, and we spent 6 years here, but the majority of my money, and been able to take 16 trips to Mexico, I'll take trip number 17 in about 5 weeks. You know why, folks? That's not blown money like you blow it shopping, like you blow it eating, like you blow it at McDonald's. That's a church planted. And folks, if you ever want to see an amazing investment outside of heaven, take a trip, because when these guys come through here, you're so close. When we talk about Brother Martin's work and these men that we support, when you go over there, you see Brother Ledbetter in that country where the average church runs 12 people and he runs 120 people. And you go see Brother Martin, this huge monster. You could tell he built this tin roof something pavilion, and then that didn't fit all the people, so then he built more tin roofs this way, and then more tin roofs this way, and then more tin roofs in the back, and people just, I mean, there's just people everywhere. Until you step into Brother Sisson's auditorium, and until you go down to mats, and the place is packed out, and they sit behind you, and beside you, in front of you, on top of you. And until you see what's going on, you know, this is fruit to your account. Can you imagine without missions how empty your account would be? Tell me about your account. Show me your converts. Line them up. Put them right there. Show me what you're taking to heaven. Show me. I need to see what you're taking to heaven. You've invested your life into okay, I understand you're going to make your last payment on your house. You ain't taking that to heaven. You got two cars paid off. Praise the Lord. What an amazing closet. You're not taking any of that to heaven. Show me your heavenly account. Amen. Well, 15 years ago, I had a teenager say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah for that. But what would your heavenly bank account look like without missions? Broke. Thank God for missions. I, Paul said, desire, you know any man in the world ever desired fruit like Paul? This was an amazing investment. Lydia, thank you for investing in a man that desired fruit. Now, if you have no concept of the eternal, you're going to be like that man in Luke 12 that was not rich towards God. But the Bible tells men that thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits, earthly fruits, temporary fruit. And he said, this is what I do. I'll pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required thee. And we like to preach on that about salvation. But the application was not made concerning his soul. It was made concerning his treasure. He said, those things which thou hast provided, for who is that going to be, all that treasure you laid up? So, verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So there is fruits, earthly fruits. I'm just asking you a question tonight before we walk in our missions conference. What kind of fruit you desire? Not against house, car. We all have it. Praise the Lord for that. But do we have anything spiritual within us that says, I've got one life and it's short and I desire fruit that's eternal? Paul said, I don't want a gift for you guys. You know why these men are leaving the United States and going across the world, and it doesn't matter what country, what continent, they desire fruit. Number two, look what it says. I desire fruit that may abound. That's called abundant fruit. Keep your finger here. Go with me to Acts chapter 17. Let's look for a minute, because this church invested in Paul's endeavor into Thessalonica. So here it is, Acts 17. He goes into Thessalonica and he reasons in the synagogue. And verse 4 says, some of them believed. Well, we've invested in missionaries like that. Went to a country and they preached and labored and some of them believed. But look what it says about the Greeks. That's talking about the Jews. But of the devout Greeks, what's it say? A great multitude believed. And here's what the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 8. It says, then they helped push the gospel out beyond, not just in Macedonia, but beyond Macedonia. Paul said, I don't just desire fruit. I desire fruit that abounds. How many of you would be happy you planted a tree, orange tree in your backyard, and every year, two oranges? One for me, one for you. Kiddos, guess what? You're out of luck. Tomato plant, a whole garden, three pieces of fruit. 5 acres of cornfields, and we got 3 ears of corn. Yes! God's good. You know what you want? Fruit that abounds. Now let's just do this for a minute. Let's be real honest. Tell me about the last 10 years, passing out tracts, knocking on doors, preaching on the street, whistling at work, praying for souls, talking to neighbors. Tell me about your fruit bushel. Show me your basket. Let's do a basket inspection. How many here say, preacher, stop for a minute, I need to get testimony. I want people to see the fruit that is abounded. in my life? Do we need to go individually, one by one? Look at the fruit basket. You're in the United States of America. That's no excuse. There's no pretext not to win souls. I praise God for everyone that got saved. But there's no one in here that has a basket that's abounding in fruit. Here's why we get involved in missions. Now we can get involved where it is abounding. You know what I like about going back to Mexico? I like to look at our fruit that is abounding. Because my fruit in Texas is not abounded. Oh, I like to go back and look at our church and look at the new converts and look at that building, look at the Sunday school classes. I like to go over to Alejandro's, that little preacher boy that we train. I like to go see Brother Miguel. I like to hear about Edgar getting ready to go start that church. Praise God for Benjamin. And I look at that fruit. I'd like to take Robert down there. Let's go do this. You know why? I want him to see the fruit that's abounding. You know why I take these guys around the world? You know why we like to make the trips to Uganda and to the Philippines, these countries? Because we're looking at fruit that is abounding. That's exciting stuff. You know why we get involved in missions? Because that little church at Philippi, yeah, it grew. But Lydia is not rejoicing in heaven over all that abundant fruit because the people that she saw in her house. Thank God for the 10 or 12 that got saved in her household and for the neighbors that she went to Christ. And it says she's from Thyatira. And next thing you know, John, in the book of Revelation, he's sending a letter out to the church at Thyatira. And I'm wondering if this girl got on fire and went home, won some family to Christ there in Thyatira, and that church sprung up as a result. I don't know. My imagination and scripture would run wild if I'm not careful. I don't know what happened there. But I do know this. She had abundant fruit because she began to invest in the life of Paul and got this church involved in regular investment in the world's greatest missionary. And just their investment in the work in Thessalonica became abundant fruit. Capital City, you know why we're going to be able to go to heaven and take a look at all? I'm talking about thousands and thousands. If you just talk about the several million dollars that we've given in the past 7 or 8 years, how many souls have gotten saved as a result? That's abundant fruit. I thank God for Eric, and I thank God for John. Praise God for Jake. That's fruit. Now, some of them are Fruit Loops, more Fruit Loops than fruit. I thank God for Brianna, and I thank God for Rosa, and I thank God for Oscar. Amen. Occasionally, I thank God for Moses. There are moments. Thank God for Ashley. And I thank God for the fruit that God has given us. But that's fruit. That's called addition, not multiplication. But one day we're going to get to heaven. Listen, in our account. Now I'm talking about Capital City's account. We got a big, I'm telling you folks, we keep on at this pace and we keep growing. We're building our heavenly account. There's some fruit there. But let me ask you personally, not corporately, personally, what are you doing to involve yourself in that eternal fruit? I feel sorry for, listen, some people have 60, 70 years in this life, and all they're doing is hoarding, keeping, grabbing. And God would have to break a finger to rip a penny out of their hand. Listen, you're going to go through all eternity, and say, God gave me 60 years, I never even had a soul. Never even had a soul. I know you put a bumper sticker in your car and you carried a few tracks in your wallet and you witnessed a few people and you sang a gospel song and you told everyone what kind of witness you were. And your heavenly bank account is bankrupt. I'm going to tell you how to change that. That's why I'm a firm believer in missions. Well, Pastor, what about your retirement? I'm going to be laughing when the trumpet sounds and on the way up, I'm going to tap you on the shoulder and I'm going to say, what about your retirement? Who's going to be spending that? Who got their hands on that money? Who's driving that car? What kind of hobo's living in that house? Somebody with 666 on their forehead. And then I'm going to take you up to heaven. I'm talking about Chinese and Filipino and Mexican. You do the math. Now, I've heard some people say for every $3 we invest in missions, a soul gets saved. I don't know. I don't know if that's 30. Let's just say it's $30. Folks, you do the math. Listen, at this point, our converts are not just attending church, but they're winning souls. Some are pastoring, some are assistant pastors, and some are missionaries. Now, if you're just involved in your local church and you go out Saturday sowing, you're beating your head against the wall and you're saying, well, I'm getting to heaven. And I'm going to say, Ashley, sit close to me just so I know I have someone here. So he said, I desire fruit that may abound. And here's the last phrase, to your account. So it's not just abundant fruit. We're talking about personal fruit. Turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 35. My daughter called me up last week. She FaceTimed me, and she was excited. She said, Dad, because I told her, I said, Ashley, I'm a loving father, but that money's got to last. So help yourself. Buy anything you want. But when it's gone, don't call me. You can have as many frappuccinos and hamburgers and good times as you want. But everything you have is on me. And everything you don't have is on you. And she's my conservative one. She said, whoa, Dad, I didn't realize how expensive life is. I said, you don't even have a car. She said, I walk in life is expensive and things are expensive. She said, I said, you drink at Starbucks? She said, oh, yeah, but I don't do frappuccinos anymore. I said, I thought a trip would cure you. I said, what do you do? She said, oh, I just do regular iced coffee. She said, you can go over and put as much sugar and milk in it as you want. She said, I've learned to make my own frappuccinos. I said, that's good. That's good. She said, you know, I've learned to shop discount. But I said, so what are you so excited about? She said, Pastor Mark, put money in my account. You know what she was happy about? It was her account that made her happy. You know the nice thing about every one of these missionaries we support? That's money in our... You know why I smile so big? How many did you have saved this month? I don't know, but it's in the thousands. You know why? Because they're making deposits in our account. We got people in Uganda making deposits in our account. So every time I hear from Keith, he's a pastor, we had 18 saved this week. Hallelujah! Man, my account's growing. What about you, Brother Hoff? No, we had an incredible weekend. No, not you. We had an incredible weekend. Capital City, we don't have a single weekend that goes by that's not incredible. That's what helps when you've added 150 of the finest servants of God on the planet, adding fruit to your account. So why you got to get involved? This isn't about a gift. He said, I don't desire a gift. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Look what it said in John 4:35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth, there it is again, fruit. Unto what? Life, we're talking about eternal fruit, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice. You know what we're doing? We're sowing, they're reaping. We're rejoicing together. Amen. Herein is that saying true. One soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap whereon ye bestowed no labor. You haven't even been there. You haven't knocked on the door. You didn't learn the language. You didn't make the sacrifice. You didn't sell your house. You didn't get on a boat. You didn't get on a plane. You didn't say goodbye. You didn't wave your last wave to grandma and grandpa. Those grandkids see their grandparents every week, and you're still adding fruit to your account. Boy, I'm telling you what, missions is a bargain for this Baptist. You ask me if I want to be involved in missions. You ask me about Sunday to Sunday. You ask me about these men and who we're going to support. I'm saying, boy, he is a fruit producer. Sign him up. Here's what I know pastors say, we look at our budget and then we consider, we put them on a list. Not us, buckaroonies. When we find someone's producing fruit, they're on. Amen. I don't wait. I don't pray about it. I don't think about it. Well, pastor, you need to take 7 days. You need to pray about it. Bring it before them. If they are producing fruit, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you a little secret. We're taking them on. Amen. That's money in the bank. That's fruit to your account. Miss Sullivan, I'm helping you out. You're investing in missions. We're picking the right ones. And if they're a fruit picker, they're a fruit producer, they're on. This isn't about a gift. This is about an obligation, a spiritual obligation to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. The only way we can make that happen, the only way we can increase our heavenly bank account and put more fruit, Capital City Baptist, is for each individual to say, I'm on board. We're talking about eternity. And it means a little less on this planet, a little less in this life, but more souls for the honor and glory of God.
The Capital City Baptist Church is located at 1300 Red Street in beautiful Austin, Texas. We'd invite you to join us if you're in town. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, 6 p.m. Sunday night, and 7:30 each and every Wednesday evening. Our phone number is 512-447-9454, but I'd like to point your attention specifically to our website, capitalcitybaptist.org. There you'll find information regarding service times, and the staff, and all about Capital City Baptist Church. Additionally, you can find an archive of previously preached messages there for you to download, enjoy, and pass on to friends and family. Again, that website is capitalcitybaptist.org. That's capital with an O, citybaptist.org. Be sure and tell a friend and do your best to join us again for Pulpit Echoes, a ministry of the Capital City Baptist Church.